Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another jam-packed action adventure with the Nindalingari radio team. That is Bree, Emily, myself, Ben, and one other lady that might just be her last ever episode here on the Nindalingari radio show, right here on Wongi Radio 936 AM. Helen.
Hello.
You're damned excited about this one, aren't you?
I'm so excited.
So we're going to have a bit of a yarn to Helen about all things Nindalingari and beyond. So find out about what made her tick and all that sort of stuff coming up in the show. We've got a quiz, of course. It's a heart quiz. Now, the reason it's a heart quiz is because I want to do a bit of a, maybe like a 3 or 4 week session on the heart. So it's going to, today we're going to talk about angina. We'll get on to heart attacks, cardiovascular disease, things like that in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And as always, we've got a vape update with Bree. she can't find anything else to talk about. No, this is very important. We like to hear about the vape updates because they are a new technology. They're an emerging technology that may or may not cause death. So it's always interesting to find out the latest developments on that. Emily has, funnily enough, a recipe of the week. Sell us the sizzle without telling us what the steak is.
I think you've just said it in one. It's a sizzling recipe.
Ladies and gentlemen, all that and plenty, plenty more right here on the Nindalingari radio show. It'll happen when you're fishing or at the park with the kids. It can even happen when you open the front door. You see, every time you touch something, you have the chance of spreading germs. Now, these germs can make you sick with everything from coughs and colds to infections or runny tummy. But the good news is there's an easy way to help stop the spread of these germs, and it's as simple as washing your hands with soap and water. So when you're going about your day, remember, wash your hands. It's not too hard. Brought to you by Nindalingari Cultural Health Service. You are tuned into the Nindalingari radio show right here on Wongi Radio 936 AM, where we talk about health in an entertaining way, or at least that's what we try to do. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said in the interview, we wanted to talk to Helen. So I've written a bit of a monologue, a bit of a blurb at the start of this because it is, you know, essentially your last ever radio show here at Nindy, unless you decide to come back. People do that, Clint. Now, Helen Ryder has been with Nindy for a number of years. So long, in fact, she has become grey and a shadow of her former self. No, that's actually me. Sorry. No, but so long, in fact, she's decided it's time to move on and try something different. By different, I mean same, but different. So we're going to find out where she's moving. Potentially it's in the region still, so you might still get a glimpse of her here and there. So we thought it'd be a bit of a good idea to do a This Is Your Life type of an idea, an exit interview of sorts, an exit interview right here on the radio. So you can't back out of any answers. You've got to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, Helen.
Yes.
How are you feeling about this?
I'm feeling very nervous. I hope I do well.
And as always, ladies, I'm referring to Bree and Emily here. Please just throw in some curveballs because that's what we like to do to Helen when she comes on the radio. Yeah, curveball that right out. So we dig deep and we dig deep for the real hard-hitting questions. So, Helen, the first question is of this hard-hitting particular interview is, how long have you been at Nindalingari?
Oh, this is a tricky one. I have been here for just over 2 years now, so I started in June of 2020, which was kind of when COVID, everyone was a bit freaked out at first, so that was a fun time to start.
How lucky were you?
I know. I was supposed to start in March and I couldn't because of COVID.
How did that, just briefly, it's a little bit, we're going forward before we go back, but how did that affect what you were doing, the COVID stuff?
How did it affect what I was doing? I don't know. I kind of got here just after everyone in Fitzroy had been in lockdown for ages. So everyone was kind of keen to get things back up and running again. So I think I was actually pretty lucky. I started at a good time.
Do you think it might have been actually good because everyone was chomping at the bit to have a crack?
I was ready to go. It was great.
So just going back, where were you before you decided that Nindy was the next port of call?
I was down in Perth, down where it's a little bit frostier than it is here at the moment. I was still working in sexual health down there and I was studying at uni, so decided to come up where it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, and now we're currently freezing.
Yeah, exactly, so wrong decision,
snow-capped peaks and everything around at the moment. So I didn't mention in the intro, because I think everybody knows who you are now. You spent 2 years in this role, women's sexual health.
Yay, woo! Woo!
Thanks, guys.
It is one of those taboo subjects. We've talked about the whole taboo factor on the show before, mm-hmm, and how tricky that can be for doing the actual program. But what brought you to Nindy other than the weather? Because this is a tricky area to work in, whether you're in Perth or whether you're up here in the Kimberley. So
yeah.
What made you think that it was a good idea?
Well, I love sexual health, and I think that everybody else should also love it. You know, if I can get the word out and be like, look, guys, look how exciting it is. It's not scary. It's not that taboo. It's cool. It's fun to talk about. We can have a laugh. We can have a giggle. And it's also really important. Let's normalize it. Why wouldn't I want to do that?
And that is really the key with every health promotion we talk about.
Yeah.
Normalising the taboos, or just having a chat about it, because quite often we don't talk because it's, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's leave that on the back burner. And unfortunately, sexual health is a massive one for that. That's, I don't want to talk about that.
No, exactly. It's a bit silly.
It is good. And it also, that's probably one of the biggest challenges, which brings me to the next question. What were some of the challenges? Obviously, you've got the cultural aspect here, but mm-hmm, there must be something else that was a bit of a challenge with this particular job.
Yeah, well, we kind of touched on it already, but people just don't like to talk about it, which is, you know, it's pretty tricky, because you're out there and you're trying to talk to people and you're saying, hey, let's talk about STIs. And everyone's like, no, thank you. I'd rather not. No, we have to talk about it. You know, talking to people about, hey, the eye doctor's coming into town, let's book an eye appointment. And everyone goes, yeah, cool, that makes sense, that's normal. Mm. But if I say, hey, there's a sexual health nurse, let's get our STI appointment. Blah. Everyone goes, ew, that's scary, no thank you.
So when did it the term STI become STI from STDs? I remember as a kid growing up, let's learn about STDs. And we weren't talking about, like, phone calls interstate. Yeah. It was sexually transmitted diseases, is how it was said then. And now it's sexually transmitted infections. When and why?
Well, I did not pre-prepare that answer.
No, it was just something I came up with.
An actual date. But no, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I remember it also used to be STD when I was growing up as well. Don't remember when they changed it, but I think that the reason they did change it is because STIs actually aren't a disease. A disease is something that... well, I don't know the exact medical terminology for a disease, but an infection is something that you can easily treat and get rid of with medication, which is, you know, sexually transmitted infections are easy to treat and get rid of.
Yeah, so I think it was the stigma as well. It was a lot worse for it with the word disease, like something that you've
oh, gotten, you're diseased.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah,
right. And they changed it because it's not like that at all.
No, if you've got a foot infection, you don't say, oh, I've got foot disease.
Yeah.
What would you call that, like a shoe infection?
Ew.
Or disease.
That also sounds horrible. I've
got a shoe transmitted disease.
I've got toenail disease.
Oh, athlete's horrible. Foot, guys. Athlete's foot. That's
or thing. Ringworm. Oh. Same thing. Tinea ringworm. Really? Same stuff. Yeah, believe it or not. Wow. Just on a different part of the body.
Fascinating.
I digress. could you give some examples of the triumphs, victories that you've had in your years at Nindalingari? Because it's not all doom and gloom, and it hasn't all been taboo and hard to get things rolling. Surely there's been some points where you've thought, I am so glad that I did that, because I've actually gained some traction.
Yes, I can. There are so many things that I'm so proud of in this time that I've been at Nindy.
I'm glad I only give you a couple of lines to write then.
You gave me only a couple. I did go outside the lines.
Oh, hello.
Lots more to say. We've gotten more condom trees up and running. I've got out to communities and I've talked to people about the condom trees. And
particularly hard tree to grow, I'm told.
They are very difficult. They take a lot of fertilizer, which I provide weekly.
So you're very fertile. Is that what you're saying?
You know what? I regret saying
yes,
that
you
now
do.
Then.
Otherwise known as a rubber tree too. Yep. Yeah.
Yep, okay. Yep. Sorry. Moving on from that one.
That was terrible as well.
I have, this is a more recent one, but we're getting women's health products out for free to lots of communities, anyone who wants them. That's really exciting and cool, because, you know, they can be expensive and hard to get sometimes, so that's exciting.
I might just elaborate a little bit on each of these as we go through, but how would you get these women's products?
Well, if you want any of the women's products, we have got them all here at Nindalingari. So you can give us a call on 9193-0093.
That number again.
9193-0093.
Nice.
Beautiful.
And also, just to dip back to the condom trees, when you started, as I know this was a bit of an initiative way back when, is to start this sort of thing.
Yeah, 20 years it's been going now.
But it's always been a bit of a struggle to get it into certain places. You've been knocking on doors and trying to do all that sort of stuff. When you started, how many trees roughly were there?
I think there were about 6 trees, and now we've got it up to, I have to double check, but I think it's at about 10 now. So that's roughly about 4 more, which I'm pretty happy about. And even just moving some. So some communities have, minds have been changed as the time has moved on. And we've moved some closer to communities, which is really exciting as well. So they're a bit more accessible for people there.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you'd like to let people know about the trees? Do you come into any troubles or problems with condoms hanging in trees in regards to people taking too many, or, you know, they're getting thrown around the place or anything like that?
Yeah, look, guys, if you taking too many isn't a problem. If you want to take 45 for your own personal use, please do. Go for it. You're pretty optimistic.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably not really that good, champ. But
take them home. Have them there. You never know when you might need them. But if people could just stop chucking them on the ground, you don't need to blow them up and leave them all over the ground. It's come on, guys. We all know what they look like when they're blown up. It looks like a balloon. Yes, it's funny, but come on. It's wasteful. They cost money, and then people who do need to use them or want to take 45 to take home and use.
Got none.
They can't. No. And that's how we get STIs spread around. Mm. If you want some...
We're going to need some names on this person taking 45. He's probably a super spreader.
If you've taken 45, give us the call. Welcome into the gurry.
No, but look, the crux of what you're saying there is, look, take the condoms. They're there for you to use.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it, and we love you doing that. Mm. Just think about the next person.
Yeah, don't waste them. They cost money for us to fill up, and, you know, it's a waste of money if you put them on the ground, and we don't want to spread STIs.
How many – I'm quite interested in these numbers, yes. I know, but how many a year would you go through?
Well, actually, I've just done the numbers from last year, and we went through 13,000 last year.
Whoa.
Yep.
45 is not that many, really, is it?
No.
In the grand scheme of things.
No. But if that guy's taken 45 every week for the whole year, you know.
And, of course, you don't need to be a man to use the condom tree, do you? If you want to grab some and throw it in your pocket and you are a lady, by all means.
You can be any gender, however many you want. And actually, it's really good that the ladies do keep some for yourself as well, because you never know. Your partner might not have any. It's good if you do. And you can be any age as well.
And what about, you know, old mate with his 45? We keep coming back to this. Good idea to keep in the pocket or in the wallet, or what's the story?
Keep them in the pocket, keep them in the wallet, keep them out of the sun, keep them somewhere where they're not going to get super hot, and somewhere where they're not going to get damaged. So if you're keeping them in your pocket and you're going to sit down on a prickle patch or something, maybe best to take them out your pocket.
Very specific. If you have a condom in your back pocket, please don't sit in a prickle patch.
Avoid the prickles. We don't want poked holes in any of them, because that kind of defeats the purpose.
It does, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, it's not really stopping too much in that regard. Look, we're flogging a dead horse now. The condom trees, there's lots of them. Get out and grab one. You've had other victories, though, haven't you?
I have, yes. We have also expanded the Scudder Girls program, which unfortunately has taken a little pause this year because of COVID so far. But last year, if anybody might recall, we did manage to get it running out in Bailu community, which is really exciting and very popular. Everyone was really happy about that. And we even managed to get up and running a Scudder Blokes program for the young fellas out there too. So,
yep, ripper.
Really exciting. And hopefully we can get that back up and running again soon, now that COVID's kind of settled down a little bit.
Nicely, nicely. Mm. Well, I mean, we don't want to get too deep on the COVID side.
Mm. No.
But I do believe it was today that if you're over 30,
yep,
which would be, what, Tuesday? If you're over 30 years old, you can get your fourth mm-hmm. shot or your next booster if you so want to get one.
Yeah.
And now they're looking at those couple of different variants that might cause a bit of issues. So the best option is really to keep your vaccinations up.
Yeah, we are still getting a few cases in the Kimberleys, aren't we?
I've seen. Absolutely. I think we're going to get more. And, of course, on top of that, to compound that sort of stuff, we've got the flu, which is going around causing all sorts of dramas as well and really hitting certain people quite hard. Something to look out for. Just getting back to This Is Your Life, Helen Ryder.
It is, yes.
Can you give some examples of the struggles or the aspects of the role that were too tricky or a little bit tricky? We kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, some of the idiosyncrasies of working in the Fitzroy Valley, but I'm sure you've had some more as well, hey?
Yeah, well, one thing that I've found quite difficult to kind of work around is that I'm very passionate about sexual health. I love talking about it. It's kind of my number one passion. It's not everyone's number one passion, so it is kind of hard to get other people excited on the same level that I am. And especially, you know, we do have pretty transient nursing staff. So if that's not their specific interest or not what they want to do, it is quite hard to say, hey, this is super, super important and you should be focusing on this number one.
And that's the thing, isn't it, I suppose, with all of our program areas. Because we're at the centre of that program, that's the most important thing we can think of half the time. But a lot of other people have got other issues they want to think of as well. So trying to slot everything in could be quite tricky. You remind me a little bit of I've recently got a new puppy.
You did.
And he runs around like a lunatic with my older dog. And not always he's not keen on playing. So he'll sit there and bite at her neck and then you just hear, grrr. That's kind of how I'm picturing you running in really excited about sexual health. Hey, guys. Go away, Helen.
That is how it feels sometimes, yeah.
But you keep trying. And I think that's what we've really appreciated the most is you've had these hard parts of the job, but you've kept trucking on through.
Exactly.
So congratulations to you for that.
Oh, thanks so much.
And apart from myself, what have you enjoyed the most about being a member of Nimbling Gary?
A little bit of a pitch for you there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, yeah.
Well, Ben, not to give you a big head, but you have been one of the lovely parts of the team. It's been really lovely getting to get out and about with all the Nindy team, you know, as cringy as it does sound. It is like a little family and it's nice to go and explore all the different places in the Fitzroy Valley and hear all the good stories, and you're really great at that, Ben. You've given us lots of stories.
Excuse me, I'm coughing. Oh, I'm getting a bit emotional, actually.
Hiding the tears.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's been really nice just going out and exploring with everyone, and especially when, you know, some other people have maybe been here the same amount of time as me, so we're exploring the places for the first time together, which is that's quite nice.
Yeah, pretty awesome, hey? And what a lovely place to live. Obviously, it's got its challenges, which we spoke about, but just the landscape alone is worthwhile being up here. Sunsets, crazy, cringy beautiful things like that. It's just like, this is awesome. 3 minutes down the road, you could be anywhere in the middle of nowhere. I absolutely love that myself.
Yeah.
Before we get on to the next question, Helen and I spoke a little bit and she's drawn a bit of a self-portrait.
I have.
So I thought we might just quickly hand the self-portrait over to who wants to describe this self-portrait, Emily or Bree?
Well, okay.
Okay, Bree's going to do this. This is one of the best self-portraits I've seen for a long time. That could be up for an Archibald, actually.
Yes, we should frame it after this.
Can you do self-portraits in an Archibald prize? Or is it for portraits of other people?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
We're about to enter that anyway.
Only
we'll find
portraits
out
of Archibald.
Well, she's got her curly hair down packed.
Thank you so much.
In your
very blue eyes. I use the orange pen for the hair.
And a great big smile. Rosy cheeks.
That's actually a sunburn.
Oh. Easily burnt.
Always
not
burnt.
Not great for
look, what this picture
weather
does do, it does kind of describe Helen in her office.
Somebody
every time I go on Humbug, knock on the door, she does have a smile. That's down pat. You've got everything else there, even the sunburn down. You have been an integral part of the team, Helen. We've appreciated you being around.
Oh, good.
Where are you heading next?
I'm going over to Broome. So not actually that far away. I'm heading over to CAMS over in Broome, so people might still see me around. If you do see me around Broome, give me a little wave and say hello.
Hey, not a creepy wave.
No, just
don't,
a
don't
small
just do
one.
That little one and smile and run away.
Give me a queen wave.
No pictures. Oh.
No pictures, yeah.
What will you be doing at CAMHS, if I may ask?
Yeah, I'm going to be working in the Kimberley support, so I'm going to be working with disability services, which I think is another really important area that doesn't necessarily get enough attention as it deserves. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, nice one. Look forward to seeing you over there. I am going to do the creepy wave. So when right. you see that, it's...
I will ignore you.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, the best part about this particular exit interview is you get to give some damn good advice to the next person that decides that this is the role for them.
Ooh.
Go for it. What do you want to tell your successor?
Oh, I will tell my successor, slow down. I know when you come into the role, it's really exciting. There's a lot going on. You read all the stuff and all the projects that are going on and you just want to get right to it. That's my number one advice, is slow down. Stop, listen, go get to know people, have some sessions and some programs, but don't be so focused first up on, you know, hammering in the information. Get to that later. Ease into it. Listen to what people need and what they want. Maybe all of this stuff is happening, you know, people aren't accessing condoms for a reason. Find out why that is and what you can do about it. So that would be my advice.
This is a recurring theme I'm finding and something that should really be taken in your stride and taken on board for anyone that does decide they want to come to the Valley, let alone just Nindy.
Yeah, definitely.
But we'll talk Nindy. Take the time to meet people and don't push your agenda too hard, because your agenda may not be the only agenda out there.
Exactly.
So take your time and figure out what is actually required rather than forcing your opinions on people.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely fantastic. Helen Ryder, thank you very much for being at Nindalingari. Hope you can stay around for the rest of the show, because we've got a quiz, we've got a recipe, another vape update.
I've got to win the quiz. Of course I'll stick around.
But all that and plenty more. Oh. Coming right up.
Staying fit can be as easy as 30 minutes a day. Here's how the children at Mullager School spend their 30 minutes.
Walking, basketball, fishing, bike riding,
gardening,
soccer,
hiding seed,
rodeo,
joking, netball,
skateboarding, dancing,
climbing trees, swimming, skipping,
fighting monkeys.
Wait a minute, did he say fighting monkeys?
Whether it's fighting monkeys or kicking a footy, 30 minutes of physical activity is all it takes.
Brought to you by Mullager School and Nindalingari Cultural Health Service. You are tuned into the Nindalingari Cultural Health Service, a radio show right here on Wongi Radio, 936 AM. Now, we just spoke to Helen about all the trials and tribulations of being in women's sexual health in the Valley, and now we're going to turn to something else. It's called angina. Are we familiar?
Yes,
something
but not...
to do with the heart?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, and it's part of my serial on different aspects of the heart that I decided this morning was a great idea, and now I'm beginning to wonder whether it was or not. So angina is pain in your chest caused by reduced blood flow to your heart, which reduces oxygen, right? So the heart needs oxygen just like every other part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's a lack of blood flow because of a narrowing of the coronary arteries. Right, break this down real quick. Coronary arteries, big old vein type things that allow blood to go in, right? So what happens is basically the main artery that's going into the heart that's feeding it gets kind of like a kink in a hose, right? So it gets blocked up a little bit with whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when you kink a hose, you can still get a little bit of water come through, but it's not enough water to water the plants, right? It's exactly the same as that with the heart. So, you know, a tiny bit of blood or oxygen isn't enough to help the heart work properly. So angina on its own isn't a disease. Basically, it's the symptoms of something else, right? So it's a warning sign that something's not quite right with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a heart attack, although some of the symptoms are very similar,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a warning sign that your heart's saying, hey, you're not getting enough blood and oxygen in here, and your heart doesn't get enough blood and oxygen for too long, that could lead to a heart attack.
Right.
So if you've got something like angina, what would be a grand idea to do?
Maybe visit a doctor.
Yeah, go to the doctor, go to the clinic, get checked out. Angina on its own can be treated quite simply, quite easily. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But a heart attack basically can damage the heart permanently forever, right?
Mm.
So angina, if you get it, look after it and manage it. you can still have a quite a healthy heart and go on with no worry. So angina usually occurs when you're working hard, something like exercise, high stress, or even after a big feed, which sounds crazy, but a big feed, your body basically needs to increase its ability to break down all that food. So the heart needs to be a little bit harder. It needs more oxygen to do that. So that puts a little bit of extra stress on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kinked toes, you're not going to get that, so you're going to get the issues, right? So if the heart doesn't get this oxygen, it gets that little kink in the hose. It could feel things like pressure in your chest, squeezing, burning, or a tightness in your chest.
Mm.
This one here is quite interesting because I suffer from indigestion, like no tomorrow, right? So the pain may feel like indigestion. Oh. Some people say they can't say exactly what the pain feels like, and sometimes they can't even tell you exactly where the pain is because your chest is quite a big area. Mm. It could be a crushing sensation in a large area all at once.
Oh, gosh.
So you don't 100% know where it is, and you might not really be able to describe what that is. A lot of people describe it as indigestion. So I'm hoping I don't have angina.
So it can be really scary, and I guess it might even feel like you're having a heart attack or something.
Yeah,
you don't know.
My microphone just went there. Yeah, you're exactly right. And they do share a lot of the same symptoms. Symptoms like pain, discomfort in the middle of your chest where your heart is, short of breath, sweating. Mm-hmm. I'm breathing hard and I'm starting to get hot. Feel pressure or tightness in the chest. Pain in the neck, jaw or arms. Now, usually everyone's sort of doing these ones now. Hang on a second.
Chat a little bit.
Usually it's your left arm, and for whatever reason this is, but it's not always, right? So if it's left arm, it's, heart, but it could be any arm, could be both arms.
Hmm.
And sometimes pain in the upper back or shoulders. You might also feel a bit sick, tired or weak, short breath, sweating or lightheaded. So I know I'm saying a lot of stuff here, but basically if you've got a sore in your chest, get checked out by the doctor or the nurse. Go to the hospital, go to the clinic. Just get checked out. What harm is it, you know?
Yeah.
At the very least, you've been for a checkup and they might find something else. You might have a rotting toe. Who knows?
Hope you'd notice that one.
Yeah, so do I, but I'm struggling to see it. Anyway, so chest pain can be due to other causes. So if you feel any of these things, head to the clinic or the hospital, right? Big take-home message.
Yes.
Anything inside your chest, heart, you're feeling no good, dizzy, all that sort of stuff, get in there, have a chat to the nurse or the doctor.
Mm.
It might just save your life. All right, so treatments for this are lifestyle changes. If you can make some lifestyle changes, you may not even need things like medications or any of the other number of things that the doctor might prescribe, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so exercise, eating healthy, less alcohol, less smoking. Emily, can you give me one good tip for food that might help to increase my chances of having a healthy lifestyle?
Eating a variety, a nice balanced variety of all sorts of fresh fruit and vegetables.
So a lot of different things. Don't just stick to that same four items.
Yeah, there's no one superfood. So just trying to have that good variety in your diet as much as possible will give you the best outcome.
All right. Smoking. Now, I know we're going to talk about vape soon. Give me one tip that could help me reduce my cigarette consumption.
To reduce?
Yeah, okay. Something that I could take on board and say, this might actually help me to go from 15 cigarettes a day to 10.
So the first thing that's popped into my mind is to be mindful about how many you're having, especially if you do have other health conditions and like your heart might be playing up on top of that. Thinking about using nicotine replacement therapies. So putting on a patch, chewing some gum, doing something that works for you in your lifestyle will definitely help in reducing.
You've given us 15 tips. I only want one.
Well, you got two, so deal with it.
No, nice. So help to reduce that smoking, because smoking is not great for the heart.
No.
Increase the range of foods you might eat rather than having a really narrow palate, meat and potatoes. We might want to increase that to some broccoli, carrots and celery if you like.
Hmm.
I'm going to ask you a tricky one.
All right,
It's not really anything to do with sexual health other than the fact that exercise, I suppose.
Mm.
Give me one exercise that I could do, apart from what you're now thinking, that might help me get my 30 minutes a day.
Okay. I would say you can go for a walk. That is a boring exercise though, so I'm going to give you a more fun one.
But it's a simple thing to start with. Going for a walk is a great catalyst for you to be thinking, I'm going to try something different next week.
Yeah. Another one that's very simple. have a little boogie around your house.
Boogie!
Have a little dance.
Yeah, that's nice. Cool. You can do it with a vacuum cleaner.
You totally can. Pop some music on. There you go.
Oh, yes.
30 minutes.
Yay.
Now, you've heard these tips, tricks and all sorts of things right here on the Nindling Go radio show. Now, these were tips and tricks that we could do to help reduce the likelihood of angina turning to medications. But these tips here can be taken further than that for anyone that doesn't seem to have a health issue at the moment or hasn't been diagnosed with anything. You could use these tips in everyday life to just improve your overall well-being.
Yeah.
So you heard it here first. We're the only ones doing this sort of thing. You are tuned into the Nindy Show. Stay tuned for more stuff on anything to do with the heart and more. But if you want any info on angina or you're suffering any of these you know, signs and symptoms that we talked about, pain, discomfort in the chest, short breath, sweating, pressure in the chest, pain in the neck, jaw or arms, upper back or shoulders, and it just seems a bit weird, you're just not feeling yourself, go to the doctor, go to the clinic, get it checked out. Well, hey, if you see me down the street, have a chat. I'll help you out there too. I can't diagnose that you've got angina and stuff, but I'm willing to help you through whatever issues you've got. So, yeah, 91930093, and we can get our heart in tip-top shape. Now, coming up, we're going to I think we're going to do a bit of the quiz. Are you guys all right with doing some quiz?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
Can't do it until we hear this.
Welcome to the quiz. Round one.
On the Nindalingari Radio Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is round one of the quiz. Now, it's just that the cheering every week. It's like, come on, guys. We have to cheer this much. Now, I've got so many papers today, it's not funny. But believe it or not, this particular quiz is on the heart. I thought we'd kick off this whole thing with the heart, with a heart quiz.
All right. Ooh. Is this to check if we were listening or not, or is it? I hope not.
None of these particular questions were anything I talked about. Okay. This is just general heart stuff, cardiovascular disease, animals even. Right.
Oh,
now I've got your interest piqued. Question one. One of your lungs is smaller than the other. This is to make room for the heart. Which is it, the left or the right? What did you want to say?
Could you clarify the question? No.
One of your lungs is smaller than the other. This is to make room for your heart. Which is it, your left lung or your right lung?
Interesting.
Remember like learning about this in biology in high school. Always fascinating.
Yeah, I went to high school once. Right, question two.
Just the once?
Yeah. Heart disease is the leading cause of death among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. That's just a fact, right?
Right.
One in how many deaths are caused by heart disease in this demographic, right?
Okay.
So heart disease is the leading cause of death in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. This is very unfortunate. One in how many deaths are caused by heart disease for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? One
this,
in how many?
Is this a multiple choice or we just...
Nope.
All right.
So you could write one in and then another number.
Oh, wow.
There's so I got it.
And closest... Yeah, there is a fair few numbers. closest to the money wins, but, yeah, you might actually be quite surprised at this. It's nuts. Right. Question three. Which sex, men or women, are 40% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease? Now, I do realise that this quiz has taken a particularly dark turn, but I feel that getting some of these facts out there can really open people's eyes to say, struth, maybe I should have a think about doing something, whether it be that walk, giving up a few durries, increasing a few different veg in your diet. Things like this can really help with this sort of stuff. So are men or women 40% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease? That was question three. Question four. Generally speaking, who has the biggest heart?
Me.
Men or women? Generally speaking, because obviously we can have anomalies to the norm. Generally speaking, who has the biggest heart, men or women? And question five goes like this. Which animal has the largest heart in the world?
Okay. Ooh. Mammal?
Which animal has the largest heart in the world? It's an animal. got a heart, and it's got the largest heart of any other creature on Earth. What is it?
Deep in the bandage jungles of the Fitzroy Valley lived a bear who grew up wild. Now he's on a mission to help people, one sore at a time.
Hiya, Pop the Bandage Bear here with another first aid tip. Do you know that if you simply wash and cover your skin sores, they will heal quicker and have a less chance of getting infected? This tip and plenty more brought to you by Nindalingari Cultural Health Service. And oh yeah, don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
You can check us out on Facebook. Just type in Nindalingari up there in that little search bar. Like us, make us a favourite, do whatever you do with thumbs on that thing, and just keep up with what we're up to here, because, you know, you might not think we're up to much, but we are up to quite a bit throughout the valley. You are tuned into the Nindalingari Radio Show right here on Wongi Radio 936 AM. I am joined in the studio by Helen.
Hello.
Emily. And Bree.
Yo.
Now, they are all waiting to see how many questions they have got right in this quiz. There's been five questions. Mm-hmm. The first question was, one of your lungs is smaller than the other. This is to make room for the heart. Which is it, the left or right, Brie?
I said left.
You said left.
Mm-hmm. I also said left.
And I also said left, and I have a follow-up question after.
Oh, what's the question?
It's not necessarily relevant, but if you have Siamese twins conjoined at the chest, one has got their heart is directly in the middle. Is one going to have a small left lung and one going to have a small right lung?
Or wow. That is a question for someone much smarter than me.
Give us a call if you know the answer.
Yeah, that is an interesting question, though. How did you go straight to that?
I don't know. Popped into my head. Yeah.
That was something else. I don't have the answer to that, I'll be quite honest.
All right, in that 20 okay. seconds we had for that answer, that's what's going through your
But
mind.
I do suppose that it could be different for every Siamese twin. Is that their official name still?
Ooh, it's
conjoined twins, yes.
My apologies to any conjoined twins listening.
Or Siamese people.
Oh, yes, that too.
Which aren't a thing. Anyway, so the answer was the left.
Yay!
The answer to Helen's question was, we're not actually sure. Question two. Heart disease is the leading cause of death among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. How many deaths are caused by heart disease? One in how many deaths, Emily?
Well, I've done so many papers on this, so I'm hoping I'm right. One in three.
One in three.
Oh, I've said one in 34.
One in 34.
I said one in three as well.
And the actual figure, according to that Heart Mob, mm-hmm. you know the ones.
Sure. Heart yep. Disease Foundation. Heart Foundation.
Yep, that's the ones. Sure. One in 10.
Oh.
One in 10 deaths are caused by heart disease in Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people. That's crazy. That's one in three is also nutty.
I think the one in three is all non-communicable diseases.
So yes, I think you're actually right there. And then we will see different numbers again, higher than the rest of the population in regard to cardiovascular disease. So issues with their heart is very high as well in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. It's also much higher than the rest of the country.
Yep.
But people with that cardiovascular disease that do unfortunately go on to die from it is one in 10.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, it's
too many.
It's crazy. Yeah, it is. Question three. Men or women are 40% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease. Who was it? Helen?
Men.
Men?
Men. Women.
I'm glad you said women because I just wanted to have some diversity.
Yeah.
I think that's what's needed. We need more of that in the world. The answer is men. Men are 40% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease. Now, the reason for this could be up for grabs, but maybe we just don't look after ourselves enough.
I think it's
a crazy, crazy old thought.
Men commonly don't seek help.
Yeah.
Either. They're too butch for that.
They're too masculine for that sort of thing.
Exactly.
So go to the doctors, fellas.
All right then. All right. We're 40% more likely to die from cardiovascular disease or issues related to your heart. That's me. That's men.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of me, but that's me and all the other men.
Yes.
Yeah. Question four, generally speaking, who has the bigger heart, Brie?
Men I said women? Men again.
Men again. So we've got a bigger heart and we die more because of it. Right.
Structurally,
I said men too because men are generally bigger, larger, taller. Yeah.
Stronger.
Yeah, no, more masculine.
Better looking. Stop it, stop it. My head's getting too large with my heart.
I also said men's
heart. Yeah, you're all right. Yeah. Men's heart is generally larger than a women's heart simply because men on average are larger than women in overall body size. Well done. Extra point there, Emily, for stealing my thunder there. So one way you could do this is compare your fist to a woman that might be beside you's fist. It's probably a little bigger. So I've got my fist out and three women's fists. Mine's got a pen through it. It's probably the cause of my heart problems.
Probably not good.
Question five, what animal has the largest heart in the world? Who's going to tell me? Let's just say that this thing was extracted from a 24-metre.
Oh, I said whale.
I said whale too.
I said whale, comma blue.
Oh, isn't it the largest animal?
Okay, Bree gets a point. Emily gets a point. Helen, you get 3 points because it was a blue whale in particular. But whale, we will give you a point. A heart extracted from a 24-metre blue whale carcass that washed up on the coast of Newfoundland in 2014 weighed 199.5 kilos. It measured about 1.5 metres from the top of the aorta to the bottom of the lowest chamber.
Goodness me. Whew.
Absolutely mental. Where do we stand on the points?
1 metre?
1.5 metres from top to bottom. 199, nearly 200 kilos.
Goodness me.
But, my goodness. How many points have you got out of five there?
4 out of 5. Four I'm not heartbroken.
Same.
Well, this comes the puns.
I got 4 out of 5 too with that bonus.
4 out of 5.
Same.
4 out of 5. My goodness. Look, I'm not even going to do a tiebreaker there because it's just absolutely fantastic that people are actually getting involved with the quiz. They're actually learning things and they're actually putting pen to paper and potentially...
We're learning something.
Getting some of these questions right. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all about. And the idea of getting questions wrong is that you've now learnt something.
Exactly.
So well done, ladies. Round of applause for each and every one of ye.
Yay.
Done. Right. Now we're going to move right on. I think we should have a bit of a vape update. And after the vape update, we're going to get into a recipe. So stay tuned to that because this particular recipe will warm the cockles of your heart. And it is worthwhile having a chew on. But before that, let's find out about the vaping update.
So it's just a small update on the kind of the conversation we had last week in regards to Juul, that brand in the USA who has like done a lot of controversy. They were originally banned in order to stop selling and distributing because they didn't have enough evidence that their products were safe, right? Other day, the FDA have actually allowed the company to continue to sell because they've put an appeal in on the band.
What?
I know.
Were they advertising to children?
Yes. So they were marketing. Cool. So that's a whole different thing with the US. They
so this sounds like a legal dilemma that they've been banned, but they've put in something to say, hey, we shouldn't be banned.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you've got to assume that they're not guilty.
Exactly.
Or innocent of the crime so they can still... raise funds by selling jewelry.
Right. So this whole thing has originally come about because they were seeking official authorization for the device and for the pods. So they wanted to be able to market them properly.
Authorization?
Yes.
Or to say that they're not going to blow up in your face type of a thing?
Yeah, to say that they're going to provide more benefit than harm to its consumers.
Right.
I know. So they continue to market themselves as a cessation device as well. But they also do continue to market themselves to teenagers and young adults, especially for their non-nicotine-based ones.
Are you aware of how they – sorry to interrupt you – of how they actually do market to teenagers?
It's just through their advertising. So there's kind of specific techniques. They get on TikTok, they get on social media, they get on platforms that –
because this is probably things that we should consider. But we want to do it for the betterment of the community.
Hip language, yes. Mm,
buy this jewel and you'll slay.
Hey there, hipsters, come on down.
So all these reports are now coming out saying that there's actually been a shift in kind of behaviours of people. So they're actually going towards more the disposable ones because they're cheaper.
Oh.
So Juul was a reusable one. You could just keep filling in the pods, but they're actually going more towards the single-use disposable ones because of their price, because they're cheap. They can buy them online in bulk, sell them for 5 times the amount that they buy them for, and it kind of creates this market. But worryingly, there's also been a shift in the marketing where they're calling them... Well, they're not calling them e-cigarettes anymore, but they're calling them wellness vapes. And they're adding things like melatonin and vitamins into vapes and marketing them to people who might have deficiencies in those kinds of things.
And look, I suppose it's probably worthwhile just stating where we stand on this. We're not against what these guys are doing. We're simply giving the
this is the updates, the facts
on what's happening as we speak. Yeah. We're neither here nor there on whether Juul sells their product or not, whether we agree or not. Mm-hmm. It's our personal opinion. And, yeah, Juul, float your boat. Try and do whatever you can. If you're on the other side of that, just have a think about what might be in things.
Yeah, that's the main question. Like, the research is still being done on what the health impacts in the long term of vapes are in general, but then you add in all these other things like melatonin and all these vitamins.
This is a crazy
thing. You're even more unsure about how that could affect you in the long term, especially because it's being inhaled and
what
not kind of ingested.
What does melatonin do for us? It makes us feel good, eh?
Yeah, like, so it helps with sleeping.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
How could you inhale vitamins?
Oh, you're kidding. So,
well, that's the question. So, like, you just don't know how.
I suppose, like, if you think about, like, the way a cigarette works, for instance, or any other smoking product, you burn it, it vaporizes, all that stuff in there then goes into your lungs, into your bloodstream. So potentially you could do that with vitamins too, eh?
I guess.
I feel like you'd be stripping away kind of the vitamin itself.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be getting the whole apple either, would you? You wouldn't be getting the fiber.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be getting all the other nutrients with it.
Yeah. So these ones are kind of being targeted, like, need to sleep better? Grab this melatonin vape.
Mm. Have a smoke before.
Like, you just don't know, also on top of, the health risks of a vape in general, what these other things could do, especially because you're burning kind of melatonin. Yeah. Like, well, how is that going to affect your insides? Like, you know? So it's just, be mindful of kind of what you're taking, especially in regards to vapes. Everyone knows the health implications of cigarettes, but vapes are a new technology. And it's just to be mindful again about, we don't know how this could affect you in the long term. There's been a lot of deaths in the US, and especially amongst young people from vapes, because their lungs fail and give out and they pass away. And it's just a risk like that is known about, but how it occurs is still kind of being
So we're at researched. A really good point. If we think about, like, the whole cigarette industry, it came, there's lots of cancers and things, lots of people died and we still got them.
Yeah.
We've got this chance now to take a real stance on the next cigarette. Mm-hmm. Really. This is the next cigarette.
Yeah.
It's the technological advancement, whatever you want to call it. But we've got this chance of actually saying, no, this isn't great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully we get there, eh, with all these laws and things that are changing.
Yeah, well, yeah, in Australia now, I mean, you can't get a nicotine-based vape without a prescription, and that's with a valid prescription that the doctor knows that you've tried every other cessation option available, and that's the only way you can get prescribed. But again, there is still that black market that you just need to be aware of.
Now, if you are a smoker and are thinking about, is it cessating?
Cessation?
Cessation is the art of giving
quitting.
Up. So would I be cessating?
I don't know.
The worst word in history, cessation. Anyway, if you're thinking about giving up the smokes or at least cutting down, you can contact Bree on 9193-0093 and she will have a proper chat about how you could go about that.
Absolutely.
And probably give you some of the tools that can best help you stay off the smokes and have a healthier existence going forward.
Exactly right.
You tuned into the Nindy Radio Show, and we can't get through this show without this.
Try this mouth-watering healthy recipe, fresh from the Nindalingari Cultural Health Service kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're all boogieing, bopping and jiggling along, as Helen instructed us to, around the house. What recipe have ye for us this week, Emily?
I hope it's not popcorn recipe.
It's a really lovely 3-ingredient base recipe that you can add ingredients to afterwards.
Fantastic, because that's what we love.
Yum. But it just sort of opens up the room and it allows you to sort of add in whatever sort of things you'd like to. So it's just a basic omelette recipe.
Yeah.
And it includes 3 eggs.
So you've given us the one recipe that we're going to struggle to make because we can't buy eggs.
I know. It's been a hard weekend.
You can get eggs. Go for gold.
But when they do come back into the stores, get yourself 3 eggs and whisk them up with a fork or something. And then just 1 teaspoon of sunflower oil, 1 teaspoon of butter into a fry pan, heat it up, and then add your eggs. And you just fry that up.
into a nice, it goes around the whole pan.
Like a pancake.
Like a pancake.
Yum.
And then at that point, you can just fill the omelette with anything you have in your fridge or whatever you like some grated cheese, some ham, onion, mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Anything you like. So, yeah, it's a really, really versatile recipe that can be adapted to anyone's taste.
So just to get this down pat, three eggs.
Three eggs.
Whisk those bad boys up in whatever jug you've got, cup, whatever.
In a cup or something.
Heat up a pan, a little bit of oil in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sunflower oil, did you say?
Said sunflower oil, a little bit of butter.
Whatever, either one of those or both?
Either one.
Either one. And then you just pour your eggs in. Swish it around the pan and then throw in some ingredients.
And then you can just throw in some ingredients, fold it over and...
So you got to fold half. This is the trick with an omelette, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
You can stuff this up royally if you try and fold too early.
Even if you do, it still tastes good.
Oh, it's called, it's become scrambled eggs.
It's a scrambled... Yeah. No. It's a scrambled omelette.
Deconstructed omelette.
Deconstructed omelette. So if we take this base, what are you going to add into that brie? Let's go with one ingredient to start with.
Oh, damn, I had like a list. Because I'm thinking like...
All right, give me two, but just give them to me.
I'm going to give you more than that. I'm thinking like a pizza omelette. So I'm thinking cheese, ham, anchovies, pineapple, mushrooms.
Anchovies, everyone's favourite.
I love anchovies.
Very divisive little salty ingredient. Yeah.
Delicious. There's my five ingredients.
So anchovies, ham.
Cheese.
Mushrooms.
Pineapple.
Well, it's good to add in as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I might have one tomorrow.
Helen, what scrambles your omelette?
My omelette, I am partial to vegetables. Mine will be filled up with mushrooms, some spinach, a little bit of capsicum. Mushrooms. Yum, so good. Some pepper, a little bit of chilli. That was more than one ingredient.
So. Wow, that's fine. What are you adding to your personal omelette?
I do love the sound of these other omelettes.
I'm struggling
now. If I've got roast vegetables in the fridge, I'd love to add them in.
Yum. Some leftovers.
And a little bit of ham or anchovies sounds like a great option.
Yum.
I actually had an omelette yesterday.
What?
Crazy timing. Linda made omelette, right? But the strangest omelette I've ever eaten. But delicious. Omelette was very similar to what you were talking about there. Whisk it up, throw it in the pan. And then in the middle, which I thought when I got this, it was a circle, so it sort of had a top and a bottom. It looked kind of like a hamburger, but egg was the top and the bottom, like an omelette.
Yeah.
And in the middle, I thought there was like, you know when you get those sausage muffins? It's kind of like a flat sausage, almost like a rissole looking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, where the hell has she got this rissole from? Cut it open. Hey, what's this in the middle? It was rye bread.
Oh,
so instead of having toast... She's put there was some ham, some Spanish onion or red onion in there as well, seasonings and the likes, and then this piece of bread in there.
It's like a reverse toast.
Yeah, it was. It was reversed.
French toast, right?
Well, I don't know.
Well, she didn't soak it in. She didn't soak the bread in the egg.
Yeah, no, the bread was literally, it was like one circular omelette.
That's very fun.
And then we've put in the ingredients, and then the bread was in there, and then... The omelette was on top.
So that would be really good if your bread's gone a little bit, hard or something and it's not ready to be thrown out, but you can still use it. Yeah.
It's quite cool.
It was a rye bread. So, you know, that can be a bit too much on toast on its own, but absolutely fantastic in the middle of this thing. I couldn't believe it.
And so you're probably wishing it was like a meat patty.
I'm wishing I got one this morning. So there's four different ways that you could potentially have your omelette. You can name any ingredient you like in there and it will work, essentially.
If you've got eggs, you can do it.
I do have a question for you, Emily. I am terrible at making omelette and I think it's because I can never quite get the heat right. So what kind of temperature should the frying pan be?
I think I make it
too hot.
Yeah, so don't put if you've got a gas cooker, don't put it on high, maybe just a low to medium heat. And just, heat the oil up slowly, add in the egg and, see how you go. But, I mean, it's hard. It's not it is a bit of a specialist
recipe.
It is a specialist recipe, but it's a very simple one. And even if you stuff it up, you've got something worthwhile eating.
Mm-hmm.
Scrambled omelettes. Exactly. They're one of my favourites. Now, look, I'm putting a bit of an outro in. I'm not sure if you can hear it yet. I do this every week, but I just do it in post-production. Thought I'd do it in straight away this time and just take this opportunity to say thank you for tuning into the Nindling Go Radio Show.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Helen for coming in for her last show, not our last show, because we will be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for being a part of the Nindling Go crew, Helen. It has been an absolute pleasure to work alongside you, although I haven't done a lot of the sexual health stuff. You've been a great person in the office to be able to bounce ideas off and just have a yarn about what's what. So thank you very much
for that. We'll miss you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Good luck with your new adventure.
Thanks.
This has been the Nindalingari Radio Show. As always, we'll be back next week. So tune in to Wongi Radio, 936 AM, for all of your health information and much, much more.